Now, let's turn to Arush, who is with us. I should have asked. It's Arush Muthukrishnan.
Yep.
Yeah, I got Arush, it. Yeah. Arush Muthukrishnan. You're 15 years old, ninth grade at North Allegheny.
Yep.
And before we talk about your project, what else do you like to do, or what are some of your general interests?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'll just tell a little bit about myself. So, yeah, as you said, I'm Arush, ninth grade, North Allegheny. I'm from Pennsylvania, specifically Baden, Pennsylvania. And really, I just like anything technology, anything coding, robotics. That's just where my interest is. That really fascinates me. And with these interests, that's where I joined 4-H. Awesome experience where I'm able to share my knowledge and experience with youth like me. So I've done like many things. For example, like I'm the president of the 4-H AI Club for Pennsylvania. I'm also the student project ambassador for PA for STEM. So I've done those. 4-H has given me a lot of opportunities to do speaking events and leadership events. And then on top of that, I like doing a lot of coding competitions, like, for example, the USA Computing Olympiad, ACSL. A lot of those are actually through my school, North Allegheny, so big thanks to them as well. But on top of that, I'm on the tennis team for North Allegheny. So in my free time, I also like doing robotics. In my middle school years, I did something called First Lego League. That was a competition I did with a couple of my friends. And then now I do this competition called FRC, First Robotics Competition. It's with a team called Trojanators 5740. So, yeah, I do robotics. And then in my free time, I like to do magic tricks. I like creating music. Yeah, so, that's a little bit about me.
My goodness. I don't know how you have any free time after saying that. Funny you mentioned magic tricks. I was on vacation for the last week and a half or so, and I kind of got hooked on Penn and Teller have a program where people try to fool them through tricks, and I was watching a lot of those. I mean, magic can be really riveting, sleight
yes.
of hand. I mean, that's really by definition, and I find those really relaxing to watch.
Definitely. Yeah,
and it also was cool to see that often Penn and Teller knew what was going on, but they didn't really reveal the secret.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You could get the answer. So tell me about TerraScan. That's the project that, as I understand, made it to nationals.
Yep.
In the agriculture challenge. But I mean, Terra is land, and scan to me means sensors or visuals.
Yep.
So tell me how it all works.
Yeah, so basically, so just like kind of like elevator pitch of what it is. So farmers in their fields, right, they put some fertilizers in their crops, right? But normal farmers, they put the same amount of fertilizer in their entire field. And then some spots, they're okay. That's the right amount of fertilizer. But then some spots don't get enough. Some spots, and then some spots get too much fertilizer. And that causes runoff. So the excess nutrients eventually go into like oceans and rivers. And not to go into too much detail, but there are processes like eutrophication and hypoxia that happen. In other words, because of this nutrient runoff, animals in the oceans are being killed. So, yeah, what TerraScan is a robot that goes in your field, and using AI, it's able to measure in different spots in your field nutrient values. And then using that, it can predict the amount of fertilizer you need in your entire field. So the farmer can have a map and see like, okay, here we need more fertilizer. There's not enough. And here there's already too much. Let's not put any more here. So now that reduces runoff, and now less animals are being killed.
What a great idea for so many reasons. Pardon the crop pun, but the best way to reduce pollution is at the root cause, and that's what you're doing. You're not trying to collect and treat runoff water through this solution. You're trying to eliminate dirty runoff as a result of this. I the nerd in me has a few questions for you, which is, roughly how many? Well, what does this device look like?
So this is, so I should point out, so we have like high scale farmers, right, that have enough money. So there's this technology called VRT, variable rate technology, that that basically does the job that I just explained. But the thing is, it costs almost like $120,000. But here, especially in PA, like farmers like under 100 acres, they're not able to afford these type of technologies. So this robot, I think you could think of it, it's not too big. It's not, definitely not like as big as a tractor. Maybe you could think of it as like those Roomba bots.
That's exactly what I was picturing. Maybe a bigger Roomba bot. And are you arranging for these to be manufactured or...
I've been working with different, for example, CMU and Penn State. We're currently working on trying to actually get this in production and seeing if we can show this to farmers and seeing how useful it can actually be.
How did you make those connections? That's amazing.
Yes, it all comes down to 4-H. So, that goes to show how powerful 4-H is. All of my educators in 4-H, especially one, his name is Mr. Crutchman. He's just awesome. He's the one that's able to get me all these different connections to different professors and people in all these different colleges. So it's definitely because of 4-H, it's a lot of connections I'm able to make.
So you need to get a physical soil sample, I would think. We'll call it the Roomba, but the device. Do you need to get so many per acre, or is it a grid? How do you do that?
Yeah, so that's where the AI comes in. So let's say without AI, what the robot would need to do is every single spot of the field, it would have to go measure. And another part, not only the cost is why I created this, but also time, right? Farmers can't be going and manually measuring their field. They have so many other things to do. But what this allows them to do is measure. So let's say it measures in one area, the robot can skip areas. Now you might be asking, well, what about the areas that it didn't measure? How would it know the nutrient values? Well, that's where AI comes in. Basically, it uses the values that the robot measured as ground truth. And with that, it's able to use AI to predict the nutrient values of the rest of the field that it didn't measure.
So is the final outcome... a paper blueprint?
It's an erosion map, like a fertilizer map that shows them. So think of it as like kind of like a big rectangle of their field, and then in different areas it will be coded in different colors. For example, red would be, that's too much fertilizer, do not put any fertilizer there, it's already too much. And then some areas will be yellow, they say, okay, that's good enough. And then some areas maybe will be green, where it's like, there's not enough fertilizer here, here's where you need to put fertilizer. Now farmers know where to put the fertilizer instead of putting it equally among their entire field.
And do you suspect that they would need to do this annually?
Yeah, so my plan was like probably monthly, especially with rain coming in, but definitely not too like frequent. Again, even if it was freaking, all they have to do is just set up the robot in a corner of the field, and then in what I'm imagining, a tablet with an app that connects to it, just kind of outline, like, here's the field, right? And then all you have to do is just turn on the robot, and it goes and measures the values. It comes back and gives you an erosion soil map. And with the frequency from day to day, probably won't change, but especially with weather, that would probably be the most... like maybe after a rain or maybe after snow or whatever, that would probably be the best time a farmer would want to use it and redo their map.
Now, as crops, just before I ask you this question, you're hearing Roosh Muthukrishnan, who is 15. Forgive me. I went through this when I was your age. People like to point out my age in association with some of the things I was doing, including what I'm doing right now. But it's amazing. Ninth grader from Baden at North Allegheny High School, who's come up with this application of a technology for a very real purpose. It not only is going to help farmers get more effective yields and apply fertilizer with more accuracy, it's also going to eliminate runoff of excess fertilizer, which we don't talk about too much as a society, but that is a source of pollution that does need to be addressed. Farmers don't mean to do it. It just happens, all that runoff that happens across a farm. So it's a fascinating project. Now, the plants are coming up, and I think, like, at the beginning, it must be relatively easy because you've got a bare field. As plants begin to rise, can the robot navigate that kind of environment?
Yeah, so I don't know if you've seen, but farms, the way they're made is so they have plants and then a gap in between and then more plants. So usually those gaps stay relatively same across like fields around the world. So definitely we wouldn't want to make the robot too big that, as you said, would trample over the plants, and we don't want that. But what it would do is it would navigate through it, and the wheels are specialized so that they have enough traction. And obviously fields aren't exactly like zero level, right? They have some bumps, and the robot will be able to handle that. It will have the right amount of right kind of tires or right kind of build for the robot that is able to navigate, as you said.
It's just fascinating. There's so many questions I've got for you. Has drone technology entered your mind as a way to do this?
Yeah, so actually funny you said that, because my AI club recently went on a trip to DC, and there we went to an aerospace museum, and in there there was like a there's like posters and stuff. I was reading one, and one of it said drone technology for this fertilizer runoff. So yeah, definitely that's another option. I think the one thing that might be like a downside is the cost. But again, I don't think it'll be too much of a difference. But yes, definitely drone technology is another thing we can use. What my robot, what it does is it also uses satellite data. So it kind of predicts the nutrient values beforehand. So think of like, the robot hasn't guessed any values. It hasn't taken any ground truth data from the field. What it does instead is it first takes satellite data from Google specifically, and it kind of guesses nutrient values. Then it goes, as I said, it goes in different intervals and let's say in specific areas. It's not sure. I'm not sure what the nutrient value is here. Then it would go and measure it there, take that as ground truth, and then update its values.
Makes sense. I like ground truth too. That makes sense. So it'll basically calibrate or correct the predictions made based on a satellite map. Have you worked with any farm owners to demonstrate the technology yet?
Yeah, not yet. That's what I was saying. That's what we're going to be working on with these different colleges that we haven't started yet, but that's what that's the process I'm in right now. I just recently ended all my science fairs and competitions, like the National AI Challenge. So this idea is out there. So yeah, we're getting into production and actually seeing whether this could be reliable and be used by farmers.
It'll be interesting to see how farmers react to it, and also where the applications are. I would think subsidies for correction of storm water runoff that is polluted would be out there to do this sort of thing. It's not cheap to treat contaminated runoff, and you're providing a way to prevent doing it. I'm curious, and I don't know if you can answer this, but was there a moment that you realized that this was a worthwhile project?
Yeah, so a lot of people have asked me, so they hear my project and they're like, what made you like start this? Yeah, the main thing was that Right. We hear a lot about farm problems. And being honest, before this, I also, too, was like, okay, yeah, there's problems. But me personally, I'm not seeing anything affecting my life. So why should I worry? But the point that hit me was where I realized there's a connection between erosion, right, of this fertilizer runoff directly leading to animals dying. So when you tell somebody that right now, as we're speaking, animals are dying in oceans, that kind of alarms them as opposed to fertilizers or runoff. So these two things, when I saw that these are connected, that was pretty alarming to me, and especially to other people. So that was really like the sign for me to say, okay, yeah, I can definitely do something about this, especially with this high-cost technology. I think I'll be able to use AI to lower the cost for these low-skill farmers.
And how did that awareness come that animals were dying as a result of runoff?
Yeah, this just came from a lot of research, looking at papers, looking at news. I also saw that in Pennsylvania itself, there's different types of diseases that are being caused because of this excess fertilizer. So yeah, just reading different things. And once I come across one newspaper, one article or whatever, I go into the next. And as I go deeper and deeper, I see that this problem is much bigger than what we've seen or what we've understood before.
I don't know of too many people trying to address this problem the way you're doing it. Granted, I don't have an exhaustive knowledge of these things, but most people would be looking at how can we make a cleaner fertilizer, or how can we eliminate runoff, or how can we treat the runoff that's generated. This is a real novel way of trying to do trying to solve this problem. So you made it to the National 4-H representing Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And you were honored in that respect. Do you go on? I don't know much about how the tournament system would work, but is there a next level that you go to?
Unfortunately, not for this one, because it's like 4-H is mainly like in the U.S. So I've kind of like reached like the max, the national recognition is the max one. I won first place in that. So definitely I've expanded to different science fairs. There's the ICF, that's the International Science Fair. So that's what I'm going to be trying next, to see if this would, play out in there as it did in this national contest. So not exactly this specific competition, but definitely other things as well.
Man, and you have still got a little over 3 years of high school ahead of you. Have you thought about what you want to do after high school?
It
wouldn't surprise me if it's something having to do with this.
Yeah, definitely. My goal right now is to get into my dream colleges like CMU, MIT, Stanford. These are definitely one of my dream colleges that I want to go to and what I'm working hard towards. More years down the road, my dream, like my overall life dream, is to create or start my own company in which I create something using AI or the latest technology to really change the world. Kind of my example is Google, right? Even though it was like 20 years back it was created, still to this day, I think everybody, each of us, use Google every single day. So kind of like that really pivotal change in the world, something, if I could create that, that would be my dream.
I hope you'll come back so we can follow it as you continue. What you've done is just incredible. Is there anything else you would like to add or talk about that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
Not really. I think not only this TerraScan project, I'll be working on much more projects, not only agriculture, but yeah, a lot of other projects in the future. I might be also making those readily available for whoever those were made for. But yeah, thank you so much for having me here.
I realized you're very welcome. I realized something I should ask you about is, as you're listening right now, you probably are thinking, I suspect, what a remarkable teen Harush Luther Krishnan is, but he's also exceptionally well-spoken and poised. And wow, I would imagine some of that comes from you and you alone. 4-H really helps with those skills too, right?
Yes, definitely. Before I came into 4-H, I was really just coding and just creating stuff in my desk. And then, I mean, that was really like the spark to 4-H, right? How can I share my knowledge with youth? And that's where 4-H came in, all my AI club and hackathon stuff. 4-H has really taught me different leadership and a lot of different skills that help me share my knowledge.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks, but myself included, don't know what today's 4-H is about. And depending where you are regionally, it can be different things.
Yeah.
So who would have thought that, you know, 4-H has programs that involve AI?
Yeah.
Arush, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure.